I want to say that this church in Zion Fellowship in Canandaigua, I feel like the adulterous lady. God, Jesus played in the dirt. It says, cast a rock for the, or a stone. And this church and Zion has not cast any stones at me. God bless all of you.
Brother, we're all there's one body, there's one church. We're one with Zion and so many other churches. So you're not committing adultery coming over here this morning. I think that's what he was saying.
No, the church body. We're
not talking
to him.
We're
not
Okay.
No.
I thought he was feeling guilty because he shares all these different churches. I'm like, no, that's good, man. It's good. But that's interesting. You know, do you see how different people perceive things? You know, a lot of times I think differently than other people, and some other people think differently than me. And so, but that's interesting. But thank you for that, brother. And you know what? I hope that everybody's testimony can be just like that. You walked into church and not one person judged you. That's what church is for, right? If we can't receive those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who have had life circumstances that are different than ours, then we got a real problem. And so I praise God for that testimony, brother. Amen. Children, you want to go downstairs? Woo! Yeah. I see you counting your money. Did you get some birthday money? Happy birthday! I know some of the kids are already down there, so if you want to go, just run on down there. They'll take care of you. He's like, I don't know, I don't know. They always say, I don't know, but after they get down there, they have a great time most of the times. And so, all right, I'm not going to drag it out. God bless you, children, and the workers. Hallelujah. I want to continue. I have to continue. God just keeps working in my heart about the money issue. Do you know that in the Bible, God talks about money more than any other subject? That's a really interesting thing. And so we need to be concerned, and it's one of the areas that I don't preach a lot about. But today I want to just continue what the Lord has been working in our hearts and sharing with us about, you know, we've already talked about tithing and how, you know, there's a blessing in tithing and how in Malachi God instructs us to do that. And if we don't do that, then, you know, he points out that we're robbing God if we don't do that. And we wonder why, you know, all these things happen in our lives and we don't see the blessings that we feel we should see. And a lot of it just, centers around the fact that whether or not we tithe. I know this, I want all the blessings that God has for me. And it is interesting, there are works involved in serving God. You know, faith without works is dead. And so if we fail to do the works that he calls us to do, then, you know, we struggle. And so we talked about tithing last week. We talked about stewardship, being good stewards of what God has given us. And, you know, I didn't even talk about the talents, the 10 talents, you know, the those that were given. You know, the master left, and he left some of his goods to his some of his workers. And you know, the one who had 5 turned it into 10. The one who had 2 turned it into more. The one who had 1 buried it in the sand. And that one was reprimanded for not bringing an increase. He wasn't a good steward. And so, you know, understanding that God has provided everything that you have. Do you know that? He's provided everything. He's not only has he provided you with just stuff, but he's also, for some of us, he's provided even ideas and abilities and the, you know, those who are good in business. You don't get that way just because you're that way. You get that way because God has blessed you and he's given you that wisdom and that knowledge.
And so whether we're doing, you know, really well financially or whether we're doing really poor financially, you know, whether we have the gifts to be able to manage and lead businesses or whether, you know, we're, you know, working for somebody else who has the business, whatever the case may be, we need to trust God in all of it. And we need to do the right things with all of it. And today I want to talk a little bit about what happens when we handle money in a godly way. I want to talk about what happens when we're selfish and we're not honest with God about our giving. And I want to, you know, end it by talking about the spiritual ramifications of the money that God has provided in our lives. It's a very serious thing. And so I want to look at Acts chapter 4 first. Now the church, you know, had just formed. This is the beginning of Acts. You know, Jesus has ascended. The Holy Spirit came down. And now they're starting to form this church. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did any say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great prayer, or great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you instruct us today, and that you help us, God, to decipher really what your will is in our lives, in our fellowship, and with all the possession that you have provided for all of us, God. Just help us and bless us. Amen. Now listen, I'm not going to advocate today that everybody in this place sell everything that you have and we'll just bring it all to, you know, bring it all to my feet and I'll disperse it, you know. I'm not advocating that at all. But this is what they did. I don't know what the deal is there. This is what they did in the early church. And I'm curious if the reason why they did that is because the disciples were there when Jesus told that guy, when the guy came running, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "Sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me." And I'm wondering if that's why they started the church in this fashion, you know, with the understanding, well, it must be God wants us all to sell all our stuff and just give it to whoever has need and follow him. That may be why this early church did this. But I want to show you in verses 33 and 34 what happened because of what they did here. In verse 33 it says, "With great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked." In the midst of this congregation of people who were united in the idea that, you know what, we're just going to sell everything and just give it all away. And we're going to, you know, if somebody, and understand too, this was kind of a closed group too. They didn't just give it out everywhere. They gave it to the people that were part of the group. They made sure that everyone had need. Now, there is a chance, and I'm not, again, I'm not advocating this, but you know what? There is a chance that you get enough people together to sell all of their stuff and then just live out their lives from that, you know, big fund that they all put together and as you have need. There's a really good possibility that, you know what, the rest of us could live out we could all, as a group, live out the rest of our lives without having any need. Wouldn't that be interesting? I don't know that that was God's plan or God's intent, but that's what they did. But here's the thing. In the midst of what they did there, there was great power. Great power the apostles had to witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great power. I long for the community to be able to look at this church and say, wow, they've got great power there. And they are awesome witnesses of Jesus Christ. That would be a wonderful and a beautiful thing. And I would also love to hear that every person who comes a part of this body, this fellowship, that not one lacks anything. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I don't think God wants us to lack anything. Now, if you continue reading there in Acts, it shows us what happens when we're selfish and we're not honest with God about our giving. Continue reading in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold the possession. He kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all who heard these things. And the young men rose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might fall on them, on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from surrounding cities in Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now, there's a lot in there. But the first thing that I want to point out is this, that what happened when they were dishonest with God about their giving. Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And immediately his wife Sapphira did the same thing, fell down and breathed her last. This is very, very concerning to me. What was this all about? This was all about their money and what they did with it. But here's the thing. You know, what Peter said to them, wasn't it when it was yours, it was yours. And after you sold it, wasn't it in your control? He wasn't saying you had to give it all. He didn't say, but he said, you know what, you can do with it what you want, but don't lie to God about it. If you want to keep some, I don't think God has a problem with you keeping some. I'll be honest with him. If you say, the Lord wanted me to give all this, but I only gave this much, but I said I gave it all. You know what? There's a spiritual issue there. I'm really curious if people spiritually die when they lie to God about whatever, even more about their giving. Don't lie to God. You know, we all walk in the door of the church and we all put on this face and we all act like, oh, everything is wonderful and everything is great. I've given my whole life to God and there's nothing I'm holding back. And the truth of it is, yes, a lot of times there is stuff we're holding back and we're not being really honest with God when we walk in the door. Maybe sometimes we're going through some things that, you know, I don't think everybody needs to know what's going on in my life. Well, you know what? God's fully aware of it, and if you're not honest with Him about what's going on in your life, there could be spiritual death involved. But it's interesting to me that this whole story, you know, this is, I trust the Bible. I believe the Bible is a history book. I believe this event actually happened. And so what is the greater thing that God is trying to teach us, what has to do with money and people who lied about their giving dying? There's something deeper there that I'm not even sure I fully understand this morning. But I know this. It's important that whatever God has called us to do, that we'll be honest with ourselves, we'll be honest with God, we'll be honest with one another. And you know what? If God has challenged you in your giving, be honest about it and be obedient in it. I remember there was a time when God challenged me, and I had made a determination in my heart. I said, you know what? I'm gonna give. Because I used to go to all kinds of meetings. Pastor McCarthy drugged me everywhere. He took me to all kinds of meetings and services and special events. And everywhere you go, there's an offering. Anybody ever notice that? Wherever you go, there's an offering. Some churches take up two or three offerings in the same night or more. And I determined in my heart, you know what? Whenever I go to one of these things, God, I'm going to give whatever the biggest thing in my wallet is. Whatever that is, that's what I'm going to give. There were a couple of times when he caught me. Because I ended up going to an event that maybe I wasn't planning on. This last minute says, sure, I'll go. You run to the event and you get there and here comes the basket. Okay, God, I'm going to give the biggest thing in my wallet. I open it up and there's a $100 bill in there. And say, holy cow, I don't normally have those in there. What do you do? Well, you know, 20 is a whole lot. Yeah, but I said I would give the biggest thing in there. I got caught a few times doing that. And I realized, you know what? After getting caught a few times in that, it's still good to give. Be obedient. And don't lie. I could have said, well, this is the biggest thing. Okay, I'll pretend I didn't see that big one in there, and I'll put that in there instead. But you know what? I think I would have been really taking a spiritual risk by not being obedient to the giving that God had put in my bug that God had given me to give. And so just let me challenge you in that. And I don't know if there's any correlation, but I never have money in my pocket anymore. I don't know what that's all about. I don't know. I gotta ask God about that. But I'm thankful that I'm spiritually alive versus heaven. 100 hundreds in my pocket. Amen. Another thing. None of the rest dared to join them. The moment that somebody did something and was dishonest with God and they fell down dead, nobody wanted to join that group. Isn't that interesting? And think about church as we understand it, as we know it. If we're not walking in unity, if we're not, you know, doing the things that God has called us to do, and some of us are dying off spiritually because of it, do you think anybody wants to go and join that church? Probably not. And so it is important what we do with what God gives us. That we be obedient. And again, I'm not saying it's not a bad thing to have stuff. But it's a bad thing when the stuff has you. I get that from, what's his name? There's a guy on the radio, Dave Ramsey. He's always running this commercial. I don't know if you ever listen to Dave Ramsey. He's a financial guy. He's always giving out financial advice. And he talks about, you know, it's not a bad thing to have a nice car, but it's a bad thing if the nice car has you. I'm driving a used car, praise God. I am blessed for it. Why? Because that's what I can afford. If God gives me a newer car, praise God. But you know what? I've been down that road too. I went out and bought new cars, and guess what? It had me. I don't like being in that place. I'd rather be free. I don't mind getting underneath there and fixing this a little here and there and all those kinds of things, but you know what else I've learned? New cars break down just as much as old cars, so. But you know what? I want people to look at this congregation. I want people to look at this body in Christ and see us being obedient to God, see us being honest with God, being honest with one another, willing to help one another, Who wants to go to a church where somebody over there has this great need and somebody over here has all this, you know, all this extra, but nobody's helping nobody? Nobody's going to be a part of that. You know, it's interesting. They had great power. The apostles had great power. And they were, you know, the gospel was being increased. Praise God. People were still coming to the Lord. And there's something else in that story that I mentioned where they were bringing the sick out into the streets and they're laying the beds down, hoping that when Peter walked by, his shadow would touch them and that they would be healed. And I want you, I've been challenged by that time and time again. If you think that, oh, you know what, I'm finally there. I don't need any more spiritual growth. I'm saved and I'm telling other people about Jesus and isn't it wonderful? But you know what? If your shadow is not healing the sick when you walk by, there's more. There's more available. I want that. I want all that God has for me and all that God has for you. And I want us all to be flowing in such a way that the sick are being healed and that the lost are being saved and that the church is growing on a daily basis. That's what I want. Why? It's a desire that God put in me because I know what it is to be lost and I know what it is to be saved. I know what it is to be sick and I know what it is to be healed. And God does it all, and He wants to use you and me to do it all, but we got to be honest and we got to be real. And if you have, you know, if you've been blessed financially, then bless financially. If you've, you know, been blessed with a little, then bless with a little. But do it all in the name of the Lord and be obedient to what God has called us to do. Unity is a very powerful key to the success of any body of believers. Unity, honesty, and good stewardship are important in God's kingdom to stay spiritually alive and growing as a church. Anybody want to be spiritually alive? Yeah. Anybody want to see the church growing? Yeah. What's the Bible say? In Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that's what these people were doing. They were in unity and selling all their stuff and giving to the poor, except for this one couple who decided, maybe I'm not going to go along with it all. And they died. But you know what? There's a blessing. It says, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. Now, I highlighted a couple words there. First of all, unity. Unity is very important. It is very important. You know, could you imagine? There's wars going on all around the world. You know who's going to win those wars? The armies that are unified. You can't go into battle with a group of guys that aren't unified in the plan. They're not unified in the battle. Well, I think we should go this way. No, I think we should go that way. Well, forget you guys. I'm going to do it this way. And you know what? Everybody's going to die because nobody's unified. You got to go in there together. You got to do it together. And you know what? Working as a church, it's the same thing. I've been working for the last few years trying to get to build some unity amongst the churches in Geneva. It's important that the church of Jesus Christ, and I'm not worried about what denomination heading you have over your church, over your building. What I'm concerned with, are you following Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in Him for the salvation, for saving you from your sins? And if you are, then let's go after the city together. I want to win the city. Anybody else want to win the city? Yeah. Well, if we'd be unified in that, I believe we'll have a much greater force. But here's the thing. Unity is very important. It is like precious oil. Oil in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's like precious oil that upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. And you know what that kind is talking about? I believe it's spiritually talking about. It's about the Holy Spirit being poured out on the church and covering everything. Every single leader, all the way down to the first believer, you know, the last person to get saved. Covered all of Aaron. The oil ran down and covered it all from his head to toe. And when the church is flowing it through the power of the Holy Spirit having been poured out on it. Oh, what an awesome church that is. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Life evermore. There is a commanded blessing in unity. And we need to be unified in everything we do. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, having mercy and helping out and doing these things. You know, the lunch program, by the way, in November, we get to do the lunch program again on Thursdays. November and April, we're doing that. And, you know, there's a group that's just so unified in doing it. It's such a blessing going there and doing that. But it's important. That we're unified in what's going on and what God has called us to do. And when we are, I believe God will bless. God will bless. God is faithful and He is true. But what happens when we're not unified? And again, remember, when we're unified in everything, not just the things we do, but also the things we give. Spiritually speaking, you know, the Bible, like I said, the Bible talks an awful lot about money. It's very important that we do the right things with our money. Why? Because spiritual depravity or even death can result if we fail to be generous with what God has given us. I'm mindful of when Mark told that guy, and I brought it up already, where the guy comes running to Jesus and he says, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus ties the answer to the guy's possessions. He says, this you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. God, think about that for a moment. Is our salvation tied to our possession? Is our eternal life tied to what we have right now? If it is, then we need to be very obedient with what God has given us to do. It says, this guy went away sad. How many people come to Jesus and they never receive the joy of the Lord, but rather they walk in sadness because they're not willing to separate, to put away that possession? And make their whole life about God. Their whole life about following Jesus Christ. I think that's more important than, you know, the idea. And again, I'm not advocating it. If God tells you to go sell all your stuff and give it to the poor, then you do that. But what I'm saying is this. We need to be aware who it belongs to. Every little bit or every great amount, whose it belong to. If it belongs to God, you're not going to have any problems. If it belongs to you, there are some problems. You know, we forget many times what our life is all about. What is life all about? Why are we even here? It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. And we can all look around and we can see what happens in the world when men accumulate great wealth and greed and corruption. And you know there are wars being fought right now just because some rich guy decided, hey, I think I want to take that country over. I want to look at one more portion of Scripture. Because I don't want anybody to walk away from God sad. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 21. Verse 6 says, now godliness without contentment, or godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, doesn't matter who you are, how rich you are, how poor you are. Really doesn't matter. If you are godly and you are content with what God has provided you, there's great gain there. That's a beautiful thing. You know, I think about all my possessions and the stuff that I have. And, you know, we might say, oh, it all belongs to God. Oh, really? When somebody comes up and touches one of these guitars, it's like, oh, my gosh. Who belongs to that? Who does that belong to? And sometimes I have to humble myself. Well, you know what? It belongs to God. Okay, yeah, go ahead. You can touch it. I mean, yeah, we got to be wise. You can't just let all the little kids go up there and slam bang and, you know, bust stuff all up. It's a good thing to be a good steward with what God has given you. But, I mean, that's just a simple example. You think about all your possession, and you know what? If somebody has need, what are you willing to give up? And I'm so grateful that I'm part of a congregation that does give. You know, again, I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, coming down on everybody because we're all these stingy, you know, greedy, prudy people. And I know we're not like that. Most of us are not like that. But be careful. Be content. Why? There's great gain there. And you know what? I think about all my possessions. I think, well, praise God that I have what I have, and praise God that I don't have what I don't have. Be content. You know what? The person who has less, a lot of times it's easier to be content than the person who has a whole bunch of stuff that you got to look over. Oh my gosh, somebody's going to break in and steal. Oh my gosh, something's broke. Oh my gosh. Well, if you don't have all that stuff, who cares? I'm free to follow Jesus. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Isn't that interesting how we accumulate all this stuff in our lifetimes, and we go through all these situations, try to get it, and when it's all said and done, we don't take anything. And you know what? Depending on what we do, it's going to determine whether we're going to have anything in the afterlife or not, in eternity. You know, when you give on earth, it says you store up treasure in heaven. I'd rather be rich in heaven than rich on earth, because heaven is eternal. Earth is not very long. Any one of us could be called home today. Could be all over today. What's going to happen to all your stuff? Probably your kids are going to wreck it. Hope not. Hopefully we taught our kids to be good stewards of our stuff, and that they would do righteous things with it. But we can't take anything out. Verse 8, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. I've said this before. Everybody here, did anybody not get breakfast this morning? That chose not to get breakfast this morning? Or didn't choose not to get breakfast? I had a little bit, because that's what I chose. But every single one of us, there's food available. I don't see anybody naked this morning, praise God. We got clothes on, right? We should be a very content bunch that nobody's sitting in here naked today. Amen? Well, that church will fill up quick, won't it? Look out. Verse 9, but those who desire, listen to this, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. What is your desire? Is your desire to please God? Is your desire to be rich? That's important. What is your desire? Because the thing you desire, that's your God. Do you know that? Think about that for a moment. If you crave stuff more than you crave God, that stuff is your God. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Man, that's a powerful verse. That verse alone, such a powerful verse. We're talking about money. We're talking about possession. If we don't handle it right, it brings destruction and perdition. Nobody here wants destruction or perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look at that. We've all heard this verse before. A lot of people misquote it. They say, oh, money is the root of all. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of it. Are you in love with Jesus Christ, or are you in love with your bank account? Remember, I asked you this question the other day, or a week or two ago, or whenever it was. Is your bank account attached to your faith? Or is your faith attached to your bank account? Is your faith in your bank account? There's a question. Because if it is, oh, you're following the wrong God. Some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Money will draw people away from Jesus. Do you know that? Be aware of that. If God has blessed you with money, then God bless you. I'm not advocating you just throw it all away and become, and of course, if you're giving it to the poor, you're not throwing it away. And I trust there's blessing in that. And God, you know, God, if you're faithful in the little things, He gives you more. Which means if you give out of the little that you have, He gives you more. If you give out of the greatness that you have, He gives you a great bunch more. It's just how God's economy works. You know. But men have drowned. They have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I know more rich people who are all worried and all full of sorrows because of all this stuff than rich people that are like, oh, life is wonderful. But you, O man, verse 10. But you, O man of God, flee these things, pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ is appearing, which He will manifest in His own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, which is a person of high authority, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Now, before I say anything else, you might be thinking, Pastor, why did you just spend 3 weeks telling us we got to give? Telling us to pay tithes, telling us to give to offerings above that, you know, encouraging us to go into missions, you know, pay, you know, help provide for missionaries. Why all this talk about money? And again, one of the reasons that I don't like to talk about money is because I don't want people to think, oh, that church is just all about the money. No, it's not. It's not about the money. It's about our hearts and what we will do with the money that God has given us. It's about so many other things. But here's the answer why it's important. I gotta apologize and repent for not preaching about money more often, and the ramifications of doing the right thing with it, and the ramifications of doing the wrong thing with it. And the reason why is what it says in verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age. Command those who are rich in this present age. You know what? Spiritual leaders need to be... This is a command. We can't take this lightly. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, hear what it said there. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. It's okay to enjoy your stuff. I don't want you to think that, oh, I got a lot of stuff. That means I'm not really doing what God wants. No, it's okay to enjoy your stuff if God gives it to you. But if you're desiring to get more of that stuff, more than you're desiring to get more of God, you got a problem. And I believe that as a spiritual leader, I'm commanded to talk to you about money. And it says, who are rich. Command those who are rich. Understand something. We in America, the person in this place who has the least amount of stuff, the least amount in your bank account, you are rich compared to the rest of the world. Understand that. This is talking to me too. I don't have hundreds of thousands. I don't have ten. I don't have a lot of money in the bank. But I am rich. If I when I went to India, I found out how rich I was. I've got a house with a bathroom and running water.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. We've got bathrooms that what goes in there just kind of leaves the house. When you push that little lever, it leaves the house. In Honduras, they had a little basket next to the toilet because not everything leaves the house so easily. And they didn't have toilets. Yeah. And you didn't put any toilet paper in there. It went into the basket next to you. Yeah, and we're all like, ooh. In India, we would walk by houses, and there'd be a little stream coming through the yard that came from a little hole in the corner of the house because they didn't have any type of, they just were going on the floor, and it would, the house would be, wherever the low spot was, that's where they would put the hole. And they would go on the floor inside the house and it would run out through the hole into the yard and across or wherever it went. We're rich. We are rich. Every single one of us. We're probably going to go somewhere and have lunch today. We're either going to go to a restaurant, whether it be fast food or someplace nice, or maybe we've already been, or we got to go to the store. We've been to the store. There isn't one of us here that needs to go home and kill the chicken and pull the stuff off it and cook it. Not one of us. Because we're rich. This is talking to me too. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Oh, I enjoy the things you give me. Thank you, Jesus. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That is so interesting, that eternal life is tied to what you do with your money. That's important. And we all need to be aware of that. There's something powerfully spiritual about the money. If it weren't so, then Jesus wouldn't have spent so much time talking about it. And the apostles wouldn't have spent so much time talking about it. And so in verse 18 there, I don't think I put any more. Oh, maybe I did. All right. You, O man, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I don't know if I got any. Yeah, that's the last one. I got ahead of my notes and I just kind of. Command, though. But in verse 18, this is it. Let us do good. Let us be rich in what? Good works. Let's be rich in good works. Ready to what? Ready to give. Willing to do what? Willing to share. Storing up for ourselves a good foundation for the time to come. Why are we even here? I think we're here because we think there's a time to come. I think we're here because we understand that there is an eternal life that is in the balance. And I find it very interesting how God ties that eternal life, with where our desires are compared to our money or to our God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for all the blessings that you have given us, for we are rich. There isn't one poor person in this place. Not one of us had to walk here this morning. Not one of us had to hitch a ride on an ox cart. We are rich and we're thankful and we're grateful, God. But I pray that you help us to fully understand the importance of our possession and our money as it pertains to our eternal life. And that we would be obedient, that we would be honest, and that we would be faithful in the giving and in the sharing of that which you have given to us. And I pray a blessing on each one in this place today as we, Lord, share and give out of what you have provided for us. Lord, that you would just continue to bless even more so that we could even give even more. But God, I pray for unity here. Unity in this body. Unity in the church throughout this region. That we would have that commanded blessing, and that we would have, just like, you know, the oil being poured out, that we would have your Holy Spirit being poured out from head to toe upon the church in order, God, that we could bless others with this gospel of Jesus Christ. Have your way in our hearts, have your way in our lives, and have your way in our bank accounts. In Jesus' name, amen.